عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم جميعا أيها المستمعين والمستمعات. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. We thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى. We are on Wednesday. Allahu Akbar, the last Wednesday of Ramadan. And الحمد لله. We are in حياة طيبة. And our focus is always is to build inshallah our iman, our a'mal, our skills, our minds inshallah. And I hope inshallah this Ramadan has left you changed a little bit. الحمد لله. Beloved listeners, the time between Dhuhr and Asr is a time of ijab al-du'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our du'a in these moments. So take the time, inshallah, to make du'a that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us whatever a'mal we have done. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept every single little or small or big thing, whatever we have done. May Allah accept it and may Allah make it come to for us on the day of Qiyamah as shuhada, as you know, witnesses for us on the day of Qiyamah. Beloved listeners, alhamdulillah, later on today we will be speaking to Mawlana Hasina every Wednesday, and we've learned so much, and we are going to be looking at Adil and how to bring this justice in our lives. But for right now, subhanAllah, we are all coming to the end of Ramadan, and in this first segment we've been focusing on the Kalam of Allah, the Quran. And you know, so one of the most beautiful things of our deen of Islam is that the Quran is not something left only to the pious, to the ulama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Quran to every single one of us, and that is the beauty of the Quran. We are in the month of the Quran, but in reality we are a nation who has the Quran with us constantly, subhanAllah. So it doesn't, you know, really matter if Ramadan is coming to an end, we still have the Quran to take with us throughout the year, subhanAllah. And you know, as you're coming to the end of Ramadan, most people are coming to the end of their khatams now, and you find that, you know, a lot of times you are rushing because you say, I need to finish my khatam before the end of Ramadan. I need to finish so many paras because I need to get to the end of Ramadan. But we shouldn't lose the essence of our qira'ah, the essence of our attachment to the Quran. And when we look at the Salaf al-Salih, the pious predecessors, you see the way their condition was, right? And it's so amazingly beautiful. It's so beautiful, subhanAllah. So they had different ways and different manners in that they made ta'amul, that they interacted with the Quran. And inshallah, we are going to look at some of these ways, and we're going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to develop this in our own recitation. And inshallah, we're going to focus on how to make khatam in a way that is beautiful, inshallah, a way that is accepted, inshallah, right? So as you are coming now to the end of it, first and foremost, understand that the pious predecessors, there's something that they would always do, subhanAllah. They would, you know, they were very, 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 very eager to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying to them. They always sat and contemplated about on these ayat, on these verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you found that, you know, And I don't know if you are doing the same thing, but if you are contemplating on the ayat of Allah, subhanAllah, you constantly are left in awe. Every time you can read an ayah, you know, so many times in your life, how many Ramadans have passed and how many khatams you've made, and yet subhanAllah, every single time you feel like you come away with something different. So the first thing, you know, is that the pious predecessors, they always found themselves pondering deeply and being very affected by what they recited, subhanAllah. And this is one of the most important parts of our recitation of the Quran. And inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow the Quran to settle in our hearts, to settle in our minds, you know, not for us to rush and to move on until we've taken the time to contemplate and to think about it, right? And subhanAllah, there was a sahabi by the name of Thabit bin Qais. And just to show you the manner, subhanAllah, right? To show you the manner that they would ponder over the words of Allah and the way it affected them. This is what we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make our recitation affect us, to bring about change into our lives. So Thabit bin Qais, he would recite the Quran, and one day he was busy reciting, and he came to this ayah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah commands, and Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. Oh, you who believe, do not raise your voices above the voice of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah says, وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ. And don't raise your voices, subhanAllah, right, in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you do amongst yourselves. So when Thabit bin Qais radiallahu anhu, he was a person who always would raise his voice, you know, and when he would speak with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also would raise his voice, because that is how he, you know, he was. And subhanAllah, when he recited this, you know, he became so afraid when he read this ayah, and Allah said to him, don't raise your voice. He became so afraid, so he didn't come out of his house. He sat in his house and he didn't he didn't leave his house at all. And, you know, if people in at that time, he was so worried. He's like, how did I do this? This is an ayat of Allah. It's a command of Allah. It's from the Quran. And I'm doing this. I'm doing the opposite thing. And subhanAllah, what happened was that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he kept looking. He said, where is Thabit bin Qais? I cannot find him. So a man said, you know, Ya Rasulullah, I know where he is, you know. And he says, I know where he is. I can find him for you. So when he came to him, he found him sitting in his house, and he was, you know, his head was inclined. He was very sad. You know, he found himself in a very difficult situation. So he asked him, Mashanuk, what is wrong with you? So he says, I'm so evil. How can I be a person who actually raised his voice above the voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You know, he says, I am going to go to the fire of Jahannam. And this man came to him and informed him. And when he said this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, innaka lasta min ahli an-nar walakin min ahli al-jannah. Don't worry, you are from the people of Jannah, subhanAllah. So when you see the story, you understand something so important, that the Sahaba, they could understand and they could frame their every interaction with the Quran is, how am I practically making change in my life? How am I bringing this change, and how is it this ayah impacting me in such a way that I'm reflecting and thinking if I'm fulfilling it? And subhanAllah, as you recite, take a pen, take a page, and write down five lessons that you've learned from the Quran over this month of Ramadan. And you make a firm intention and say, Ya Allah, these are the things that I am going to take and I'm going to bring into my life, because these are the ayat that I read and these have changed my life, right? Now, subhanAllah, when you look at the pious predecessors, so this was an example of their tadabbur, the way they reflected. At the same time, they loved to memorize the Quran. And in a past, you know, a segment, we spoke about how when you memorize the Quran, you have a part of the nur of Allah with you, you know. And that's so beautiful, you know. As you're walking around, you have this nur within your heart, right? And if you look at the pious predecessors, they love to memorize the Quran, and they love to encourage their children to memorize the Quran. And, you know, they would do three things. They would memorize the words, they would memorize the understanding, they would bring action into their lives, and they would make sure, they would ensure that they were not memorizing without any amal, subhanAllah, right? Now, a very famous man, he said to Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, he said, O Abu Abdullah, now Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi was teaching the children of the Amir. So he said, O Abu Abdullah, these are the children of the Amir al-Mu'mineen. And, you know, this is the akhlaq, this is the adab. And I want to give you some advice, right? So he says, the first thing is, when you are teaching them, remember that however you are, this will impact them, right? So the way you are as a teacher will impact your students. And if you are, you know, if you have good actions, it will affect them. And if you have bad character, it will be something that they will, right? They will dislike. Then he said to them, he said, the advice that I'm giving you, he says, teach them the Quran and make it such that they love the Quran, because you don't want it to be that they become bored and they hate the Quran, subhanAllah. This is advice that he's giving to Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi. He says to him that, you know, what happens is maybe the way you're teaching the Quran makes them dislike the Quran, and then they leave the Quran because of that, subhanAllah, right? And then, you know, if you look at the life of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi himself and Imam Tastari rahmatullah alayhi, so amazing that they were only 6 or 7 years when they memorized the entire Quran. And I remember, subhanAllah, many, many years ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed us to go to Islamabad. And it was the most amazing thing. We went to a madrasa there and we saw little children, and they start the Hifz journey at about 5 years old. And most of them, by the time they are 6 or 7, they complete the Hifz journey, subhanAllah. And the amazing thing is the entire Hifz journey is done orally, and the teacher teaches it to them. And it was so much of beauty. I can remember the entire hall filled with all of these beautiful little girls with their burqas on. And you know, subhanAllah, what an impact it made on my own life when I realized that, subhanAllah, it's the amount of effort that you put into memorizing the Quran. So anybody out there, subhanAllah, who is listening to the Quran, to this month of Ramadan, you are learning so much about the Quran, you're reading the Quran, take time to memorize the Quran. Even if you don't finish it, even if you don't complete the entire Quran, even if you're scared you might forget it, just the excuse to spend more time with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take that excuse inshallah, and you know, make your life different. Because right now life can be just about everything else, whereas when you start memorizing the Quran, it's all about the Quran itself. And alhamdulillah, there are many adults who are starting it now. Inshallah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you all. And those young children who are doing hifz, as parents, let us encourage them, love them. Let us, you know, honor them, subhanAllah, because they have the kalam of Allah within them. And also at the same time, make sure that we are teaching them the amal of the Quran. It's so easy to memorize, but it's not so easy to bring that amal. Right, so now when you look at, you know, how the Salaf al-Salihin, how they were with their mothers. And this is a story I love so, so, so much. Hassan ibn Salih, rahmatullah alayhi, he was a very, very, very pious tabi'i. And, you know, he had a brother, and the two of them, they were twins. And they were very, very, very pious. They had very good akhlaq, character. And they had an intense, intense love for the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what they used to do is, they used to divide the night up, right? They would divide the night where one of them would stand and one of them would recite, right? So for one third of the night, Hassan rahmatullah alayhi would stand up and he would perform. He would be the imam and he would recite the Quran. And then the second third of the night, his brother would do it. And then subhanallah, their mother would come and she would perform the third part of the night, you know, completing their qira'ah, subhanallah. She shows you that intense love, the way they did it, right? And then his mom passed away, their mother passed away. And when she passed away, what they did was the two brothers divided the night up into half and half. And later on, the brother also passed away. And then, subhanAllah, Hassan ibn Salih, rahmatullah alayhi, would stand up and he would recite the entire Quran himself for one every single night, subhanAllah. So it's a beautiful, beautiful ode to the way the parents brought them up, firstly. But second of all, subhanAllah, to that intense love and the more time that you want to spend with the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we look at Imam Nawawi, rahmatullah alayhi, you know, he was the author of Riyadu Salihin. And Allah has given him so many, so many books that he has written. And Imam Nawawi, he had such a great love for the Quran. And he was a little child and he used to hate playing. All he used to want to do was recite the Quran. He was, you know, 10 years old at that time. 10 years old. And his father one day put him in the shop to sell. And when he was in this, you know, he was there, he needed to sell. But what happened was he used to read Quran and actually not do the whole, you know, not sell, not worry about the shop to such an extent. And what happened was that, subhanAllah, after that, his father realized that he needed to learn deen, and his father took him out as a young boy and placed him in an environment of deen and encouraged him to memorize the Quran. So, beloved listeners, when you look at the way these, you know, the pious predecessors always looked for these excuses to have this time with the Quran, to spend this time with the Quran, you can see, subhanAllah, the intense love and the intense devotion. Now you yourself, you are coming to your khatam and you come to the end of it now. Now a lot of times, you know, what we do is we just make our khatam on our own, we make our dua. But the sunnah actually is to call, if you look at the sahaba, this is what they did. They would call the entire family. They would call them and they would, you know, gather everyone together, because the dua is mustajab, the dua is accepted, whether it was small children, big children, everyone, gather them all together and make dua all together, subhanAllah. That's the first and the most important thing, is don't make your dua alone, make your dua with everybody else, subhanAllah. And as soon as you finish your khatam, you start a new khatam with the intention, subhanAllah, that Ya Allah, I will start off my new khatam and I will carry on reading. And also make a lot of dua as you are finishing your first one, that Ya Allah, don't make it such that it takes me longer to complete this Quran. And you know, subhanAllah, sometimes what happens as the year goes along, we barely get time to make a khatam. And it's a really sad thing that, you know, in Ramadan only we make khatam. But we should now make this intention and dua, because your duas are being accepted at that time. That Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Hayu, Ya Qayyum, we ask you, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that just as you gave us the ability to finish this first Quran, grant us the ability to finish the second one as well, inshallah. Beloved listeners, we are looking at our khatam, you know, and when we are looking at our dua, the manner that we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is incredibly, incredibly important that we make dua in a manner where we are so certain that Allah is accepting that dua. Because dua at the time of completion of Quran, of khatm al-Quran, is something that every dua is accepted, subhanAllah. So take that time to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you can, make a list, make dua for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first and foremost. You know, subhanAllah, everywhere you go, you hear people are doing collections for Syria, for Yemen, for here, for there, for, you know, flood victims. Everywhere there is something or something or something. Start off your dua praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't forget to make dua for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because when you make dua for his ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it that your dua becomes accepted, subhanAllah. Beloved listeners, we will take a short break. When we get back, we'll be joined on the line by Mawlana Hasina, inshaAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum jami'an. Welcome to every one of you back to Hayatun Tayyiba. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. We are in the second segment of our show today, alhamdulillah, and we are speaking to my beloved sister, alhamdulillah, Malima Hasina. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair for joining us again.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a pleasure, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Before we, you know, dive in, inshallah, Sister Hasina, I first want to tell you jazakallah for your time over this month of Ramadan, subhanallah. It's been so, so enlightening for myself, first and foremost, alhamdulillah, and for our listeners as well. You know, we touch on topics that a lot of people are saying that, you know, we don't really touch on normally, but alhamdulillah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always bless you, especially in your time. I know you have lots and lots to do. Allah bless you, inshallah, and Allah always guide us to do what is right, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah reward your abundantly. I don't have the right words to thank you.
May Allah accept from all of us, inshallah.
Ameen. Allahumma ameen, ya Rabbul Alameen. So today we're talking about something quite interesting, and subhanAllah, you know, we I think we always run out of time, but alhamdulillah, let's dive right in. So we looked at, you know, bullying, we looked at zulm, we looked at all of these different aspects of, you know, especially we spoke about racism, and they were very difficult topics to talk about. But today we speak about something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so constantly mentions in the Quran, and He speaks about the sa'adil, right? So firstly, and we have to first go to the kalam of Allah, the book of Allah. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us about adil in the Quran?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself is Al-Adl. He's the one who is the most just, right? And just for us to also understand before getting to the Quran what it says, we need to actually understand what the term Adl even is. So basically, it's Al-Adl is the one who rectifies and He sets matters straight. He's equitable, subhanAllah. It's to make things even, it's to straighten things out, right? So, as Mu'alima mentioned, there are numerous places in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, you know, being just, about the muqsitin, and, you know, all of these words which are also used for, you know, indicating justice. So I'll just mention one or two where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah does not do injustice even as much as an atom's weight, subhanAllah. So, like, can you even imagine that? Because it happens now when we're on this dunya, and, you know, we feel that, you know, Allah has given us status, and, you know, we are in charge, or we believe. What happens is that we forget that there's going to be a day where, you know, the scales of justice are going to be put straight up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean, who can you get more just than Him, subhanAllah? So we actually are so much in need of His mercy. And in other places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whoever does an atom's weight of good, you know, He will see it. And also whoever does an atom's weight of bad, also that person will see it. So we do know that that's going to be a day where, subhanAllah, there's no running away. You know, it's only the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our amal that attract His mercy, actually, that can, you know, come to our rescue. But it's going to be a day where Subhanallah, you know,
when justice is going to be served. Subhanallah, it's so true, Malma. And you gave these beautiful ayat, and something that, you know, like stands out to me, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frames it, right, is that Allah, that every time He references fa'adilu in the Quran, you know, so be just, it's always a different form of justice. And this is so amazing. So in some places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He says, وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعَدِلُوا, that when you speak, so be just. So it shows you how justice is supposed to permeate your speech, first of all, subhanAllah, right? Mm-hmm. And then in another place He says, وَلْيَكْتُبْ بَيْنَكُمْ كَاتِبٌ بِالْعَدْلِ. And if you're doing a transaction, whatever kind of transaction, whether it's a business transaction, whatever it is, somebody should be writing it down justly. And subhanAllah, you know, there's so many like this, you know, especially when He says, تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. And even when you are judging, you should always judge with justice. So it's different kinds of justice in different elements that, you know, we have to bring into our lives. And then when you look at the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well, you know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, even ta'dilu bayna al-ithnayni sadaqah, that, you know, just bringing justice between two people, or being just between two people, is a form of charity for us, subhanAllah. So in the Quran, jazakallah khair for that, Mu'alima Azina, so it's, you know, it's something that you find that even the minutest and the smallest of things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always highlights it and brings it out for us. So in the Quran, Allah speaks about adil and ihsan, these two different concepts. So one thing we know is justice, and ihsan is kindness. But why are they mentioned together specifically?
Subhanallah. Okay, again, this break down adil and ihsan. So we spoke about adil and then ihsan. Ihsan is also mentioned, right, in the hadith as well. It's basically to be kind, right? To go over and above what you've got to do. You know, to act with beauty, to act with kindness and love towards other people, and to forgive, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the two together. I would think because, you know, He can be al-adl, and, you know, He will be just towards everyone, but it's also His mercy and His kindness and His ihsan, which is going to overtake and overpower, right? And also for us as human beings, it becomes very difficult for us to treat everyone with adl, with justice, mm-hmm. right? Because as people, we are broken, subhanAllah, you know, which means we're going to be walking with whip throughout the time, right?
Right.
And, but it's the ihsan which comes in now, where you will forgive, mm-hmm. where, you know, you would, it will be okay for your rights to be trampled upon. And, you know, so it's that kindness that will overtake. Because us as people, it becomes very difficult to, you know, to live in the sense of being just all the time. Not that you've got to oppress. I mean in the sense that, you know, which is, we're not going to be forgiving, because we're always going to be wanting our rights, you know. Mm. And life teaches us, actually, that there are times when you have to just let certain things go and hope for Allah's, you know, reward, and hope for His mercy. So in that situation, yes, you know, you forgive, you know, and you be your best, basically. Mm-hmm. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, you want that mercy. And on the flip side of it, we don't do wrong to others as well.
Mm-hmm. That's so important, subhanAllah. And I like how you framed that so beautifully, in that if we all walked around, we use adil so that we create justice, but we use ihsan so that we can sometimes forgive, and we can say, okay, you know, I can't let that go today, because I want to be kind, I want to just, you know, I understand that I can't always be taking my rights, subhanAllah. But over and above this, subhanAllah, it's you know, keeping them together so that there's no zulm being taken place. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly brings us back to in the Quran, right? He says that as long as, subhanAllah, as long as you are, you know, we will only destroy you, and we will only punish you when you start to do this oppression, right? And Allah says this. He says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَتِلْكَ الْقُرَىٰ أَهْلَكَنَاهُمْ لَمَّا ظَلَمُوا. That Allah, you know, they were doing sin, doing sin, doing sin, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them because of the fact that they moved from justice to oppression, subhanAllah. Now we move on a little bit and we look at the different types of adl that you get, right? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said such a beautiful, beautiful hadith. Said, اِتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ أَوْلَادِكُمْ. Fear Allah and have justice between your children. So first of all, I want to know, what are the, you know, how do we do this? How do we bring this justice amongst our children? And practically, how can we, you know, make mistakes in this regard?
SubhanAllah. Okay, I'll go to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? So one day there was this man who brought his son to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was giving him a gift, and he wanted the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to witness the gift that he was giving to his son. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him something to the effect, "So this gift that you're giving to the son of yours, are you also giving it to, you know, a similar gift to your other children?" And the father said no. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused to take any part of it. He's like, he doesn't want to be part of it, where the father is giving to one, not giving to the other. SubhanAllah, I think when I read the hadith, I felt like, you know, it just put it into place that I want no part of something where you are going to be practicing injustice towards your children. You know, how it comes in when we start playing favoritism, you know, over praising the one, you know, when they are chores to be done, only girls should do it and the boys don't do dishes, or the girls should be constantly, you know, at the beck and call of their brothers, subhanAllah, and the sons are treated like kings. You know, that's just what it is. Special food is cooked for the son and not for the daughter, or vice versa, right? So these are ways in which we are, you know, fall into injustice towards our children. And unfortunately, this breeds contempt between the children. This creates, you know, this ill feeling, subhanAllah. And it's, and in actual fact, the siblings have no part of it. It's us, the parents, who have, you know, planted this seed that that one is better, or this one, you know, showing preference to the other. So, of course, you can't be praising all of them all the time. So if one does good, you've got to acknowledge that, right? But, I mean, we're speaking about when it's clear, and when one is constantly being praised, and no matter what the other child does, subhanAllah, you know, it's not brought forth, and it's not a big deal, it's not made out of it. So as parents, I feel that, you know, we drop the ball in such instances. And where sons are treated like kings and girls are, you know, the slaves of the homes, I think, subhanAllah, we should have moved far away from that. I mean, Islam has come to, you know, eradicate all of the things of jahiliyyah. And I do believe that, you know, preferring boys over girls is truly a sign of jahiliyyah.
And subhanAllah, we do it sometimes so unthinkingly, you know. You know, you bring to mind a story of my late father, Allah yarhamhu. When we were young, Apasina, he used to buy Wonder Bar chocolates for us, right? And we all hated Wonder Bar chocolates. We all just wanted the crunchy and we want, but he would always, and I mean every single excursion or we went, it didn't matter what, he would only buy Wonder Bar chocolates. And so one day we asked him, like, what's the reason for it? So he said, no, it's the only chocolate that has different types, but it's equal in the portion size. So if he had to buy a Tex chocolate and a crunchy chocolate, he said, you know, there is a difference in the grams, there's a difference in the size, a difference in the price. So subhanAllah, he would always, so, and he knew each one of us, you know, we had, like, I would like the mint, my sister would like a different flavor, and he would bring, and we were five at the time, and he would bring five different colors. And you know, we would get so frustrated, like, even to the extent, like, liquid fruit juice, he would not buy a different flavor. He would only buy one, that six pack, and you had to all have the six pack. And we would argue, and we would get so upset. And when my dad wasn't around, would ask my mom to please just buy us something else, please. But they understood it, right? They understood what adil was. And he would say that. He would say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to question me. He's going to question me about how I treated my children, subhanAllah. Now, you know, there's a beautiful hadith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us on the day of Qiyamah that justice will take place, right? And inshallah, I want to go into this, but there's this hadith that I love so much. And I always read it because it like, you know, it gives you that solace. And then Nabi Salaam says, إِنَّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَنَابِرْ مِنْ نُورِ. That the people who are just, they will be on these pillars of light, subhanAllah, on the day of Qiyamah. عَنْ يَمِينِ الرَّحْمَنِ عَزَّ وَجَلُ وَكِلْتَ يَدَيْهِ يَمِينَ. They will be on the right hand of Allah, and both hands are right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the people who الَّذِينَ يَعْدِلُونَ فِي حُكْمِهِمْ وَأَهْلِهِمْ, subhanAllah. And these are the people who were just, not only in their you know, in their commands or in their decisions, but also in their families, subhanAllah. So it brings you back to this point. And, you know, make a lot of dua, because, you know, Allah has blessed me. I'm getting a little baby on the way. And I was just telling my husband, I'm so passionate about this, my first son. You know, he came after so many years. I love him so much. I'm scared. What if I'm not able to love my second child like that, subhanAllah? So make a lot of dua, inshallah, gives us that ability, inshallah. So, Amal Masina, so how on the day of Qiyamah, how is it that this justice will come into play? How will this take place?
SubhanAllah. So congratulations, first of all.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair.
Okay. SubhanAllah. So that is why we have a day like Yawmul Qiyamah, right? Because SubhanAllah, some people, as we mentioned earlier on, they practiced ihsan and they were patient on the zulm of others. So this is a day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, will reward those who are patient, will reward those who are very equitable towards other people as well. And subhanAllah, it's going to be such a day, Yawmul Qiyamah, and I mean also from the different names that the Day of Judgment has, among them is also the Day of Justice, right? And subhanAllah, even the hornless animal, like, you know, the animals also, you know, that the animals are just basically brought here for the benefit of mankind in this world. But on the Day of Qiyamah, the animal who had horns, who, you know, hurt the animal without horns, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will even mete out justice between these two until there's nothing left. Like, that is how it's a day of excitement, but a day of us being so afraid as well, because, I mean, like Mu'alima mentioned, you know, we're so scared and we do this so many times, maybe without even knowing, maybe we've been unjust towards others, or even our own children as well.
Right.
And just imagine this day, subhanAllah, when even, you know, a man examples multiple wives, you know, if he was not just towards his either two, three, or four wives. And he said something to the effect in the hadith that his one side will be like sagging because he was not just, subhanAllah. And you're having all of these things. And, you know, like we mentioned sometimes, just to make people understand, but if I had to ask you, like, what were you doing last week, this time, at this precise minute, subhanAllah, we won't even remember, right? Or what were you saying? What were you eating? You won't even remember. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who remembers, and all those, you know, our actions are all, if you will, like, captured, you know? And the day of justice, day of justice. So for some people, it will be a happy day because finally, subhanAllah, the things in which they were patient on, they're going to meet it now, and Allah will give them these rewards of these, you know, pillars of Noor and so on. And for others, may Allah Ta'ala protect us all who are, you know, oppressing others. So that is the day now when justice will be met. Example also, like when we, you know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, and who do you think is a pauper? Who is a Muslim? And I said, Ya Rasulullah, we would think someone who has nothing. And it's like, no, but the pauper and the poor person is the one who, you know, swore at this one, lied about this one, spoke ill of that one. SubhanAllah, and today of justice, so some people will have to be giving their good deeds to those people whom they have hurt. And if that's finished, then they will, the oppressed will pass on their sins to the oppressors. So it's such a scary day. May Allah Ta'ala protect us and forgive us, and may He give those people whom they oppress, you know, something which will make them happy on that day, inshallah.
Ameen, subhanAllah. It's really worrying because you can, you know, the hadith that says that you come on the day of Qiyamah and then you've got to give all your mountains of things away. Allahu Akbar, Allah protect us. And when Ma'asina, subhanAllah, you know, one of the greatest benefits of adl, of justice, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, wa aqsitu, inna Allaha yuhibbul muqsitin, and be just. Most certainly Allah loves those who are just. I mean, just to get the love of Allah in your life, and it's this, you know, decision that you should be saying to yourself, it doesn't matter what's happening around me, I am getting the love of Allah, and if I get the love of Allah, I have everything, subhanAllah. So inshallah, all of our listeners out there are thinking that, you know, I want to bring this aksifa, this quality of adl in my life. So Mulma, to end off, inshallah, what are some easy, practical ways to practice adl within our families, and some ways that we don't fulfill adl in our families?
Okay. So we'll just combine the two, inshallah. Within the household, I think if there are, you know, not military rules, but just basic rules and boundaries, so everyone knows what's allowed and what's not allowed in terms of the children as well, right? And of course, we the adults, inshallah, we hope that we will treat our children with, you know, with justice as well and with ihsan, right? And also, because the children need to know what is acceptable and what's not acceptable as well, right? What goes for one goes for the other. Like I mentioned earlier on, this practice of us, you know, still giving preference to boys over girls, like I mentioned, as part of Jahiliyyah, subhanAllah, where, you know, boys were allowed to love, and girls, the moment a girl child was born, she would be, you know, just buried alive, subhanAllah. So today we may not be bearing them physically, but you know, when we try to dim their light, you know, when we try to muffle their voices, subhanAllah, in actual fact we are also bearing the girl child. Right? And everyone should help around the household. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's our biggest example. He too used to help around the household. You know, I always tell my students, or some of them who are married, I always tell them, I said, you know what, the children that we are bringing up, in actual fact, we're not bringing them up for ourselves. We are bringing them up for the community, for society, and for their homes that they're going to have, the families which they're going to get married into. So if you feel that, you know, my son doesn't do anything, or the last born doesn't do anything, subhanAllah, in actual fact, we are making it difficult for the people outside and for the families which they're going to, get married into. So I don't think there should be special treatment for specific genders or anything like that, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, also it happens when we favor our children and, you know, make excuses for them. Oh, but, you know, she's so small, and of course, appropriately, right? And, but you know how boys are. SubhanAllah, when we make these statements, then what happens is that these are things which we're passing on to our children unwittingly. Mm. And that's how the cycle continues and continues and continues of this lack of adl and this lack of ihsan, whereas we are bringing in this jawr and oppression, you know, which is going to be passed on for generation to generation, and something which we don't even consider, subhanAllah.
I'm so sorry, I have to stop you there. The time is running away from us. But I'm going to miss this chat, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept you, okay. You know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use your children always for His deen, inshallah. And may Allah always, you know, the topics that we spoke about, may Allah protect us and protect our listeners, especially, you know, the heavy ones like racism and, subhanAllah, zulm. And may Allah make it such that we live lives of adl and ihsan always. SubhanAllah. Malmasina, may Allah give you barakah. I can't stop, but inshallah I have to stop. Barakallah fiki, jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Beloved listeners, alhamdulillah, you have been joining myself and Malmasina every Wednesday for the last month of Ramadan. It has been so, so beautiful and so inspiring, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all lives that are beneficial, inshallah. I have been chatting on Hayatun Tayyiba. Inshallah, I'll chat to you all again tomorrow afternoon, bi'iznillahi ta'ala. Please keep me in your du'as, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your du'as and accept your khatam. If you are making khatams, don't forget to gather your whole family together, and inshallah keep us all here at Radio Islam in your du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.